So we have all these big issues going on. We talk about them every day with pro-life, sanctuary cities. If you believe that these things are wonderful inventions of our society when it comes to abortion and all this other nonsense, well, then you're probably supporting progressive causes. However, if you are on the other, Pat is also does not understand how cameras work. He's very, very confused. Now that works.
Sorry.
So if you don't want to support people who don't understand how cameras work, you want to support Patriot Mobile. They never donate to people who now put their cord, their arm in the car, in the shot. There it is. Thank you, guys. Patriot Mobile is the phone company that I use. And the reason I use it is because they have great service. They have great data speeds and all the stuff that you'd expect from a phone company. But they don't donate their money to Planned Parenthood. They don't donate their money to left-wing causes that try to take away your rights, Second Amendment rights, and everything else. Get involved now with Patriot Mobile. They've got plans starting as low as $25 a month. That's unlimited talk and text. Mention Blaze when you call 1-800-A-PATRIOT, and they're going to waive the activation fee. You can also go to patriotmobile.com/blaze or 1-800-A-PATRIOT is patriotmobile.com/blaze. And now Jeffy's sticking his fingers in the shot. Hi, Pat. Thank you. Well, the show's about to start with these guys in just a moment.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Today with Pat and Stu, Jeffy has joined us for one reason we can't ascertain. We don't know why, but
I stopped in.
It's one of those weird things.
Why or how it happened, we will never know.
But Glenn's back on Tuesday, so right after the 3-day Memorial Day weekend, he'll be back in his rightful place. Lot to talk about today. The slow down Nancy Pelosi video. Who did it?
I want a full Mueller-style investigation.
Thank you.
In fact, keep Mueller on staff. I want to launch an investigation into the slowed down video.
If we could just keep him on retainer for like, I don't know, 15, 20 years.
Give him like 20 or 30 investigations at a time. No more than that, though. That would be excessive.
So we will talk about that. Also, there's some people kind of defending the release of John Walker Lind. Right,
the New York Times is kind of going to bat for John Walker Lind, which is, I guess, if you're going to come up with a source that's going to go to bat for the American Taliban, you might select the New York Times as source number one. But yeah, they're going into that, and we can get into that here in just a moment as well.
All coming up in about 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Here's something you probably don't know about erectile dysfunction. 52% of guys over 40 experience ED. And here's something you probably do know about erectile dysfunction. 0% of guys like talking about it. Fortunately, Roman is here to help. With Roman, you can go online and visit a one-stop shop where U.S. licensed physicians can diagnose ED. We'll then ship medication right from our pharmacy to your door. With Roman, you don't have to spend time in waiting rooms, deal with awkward face-to-face conversations, or make uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. Just visit GetRoman.com, chat with a doctor, and get genuine medication delivered in discreet, unmarked packaging. And now that brand name ED meds have gone generic, it's more affordable than ever to get treatment. Start your free online visit at GetRoman.com/America. That's GetRoman.com/America. Additional terms, conditions, and eligibility requirements apply. Visit GetRoman.com for more details.
Pat and Stu for Glenn, and Jeffy joins us as well. Finally happened in the UK. Theresa May resigned.
Oh, no.
And frankly, I don't understand this parliamentary
system. I'm so glad you said that.
I don't get how it works.
I don't get it.
How do you not serve out your terms? And it 95% of the prime ministers in Britain don't serve out their term. No. It's like, oh, okay, we pissed us off this week, and it's windy. He's got to go. How does that happen?
Right, because Brexit was also responsible for Cameron leaving, wasn't it?
Yes. When the vote happened,
they
Cameron
lost
said, okay, I'm resigning.
Right. Like, wait, what?
I can't. What?
And then Theresa has screwed it up so much that she has to go now.
And I don't even know. I don't know that she had a win. I don't know that there was any way to win this because, you know, she has to get something passed. So as much as it to me, it seems like, look, the people voted on it. You have a system where people can vote on these things.
Yeah.
They voted for Brexit. Do it. You know, it's a lot more complicated than that, and there's not a really a simple solution there. We've talked to Daniel Hannan about this, who's really the only person to go to when it comes to Brexit.
He's the only person that understands it, I think.
Yeah, and he was really the guy who basically pushed for this. A lot of other people have had press on this over the years, but Daniel Hannan was the guy who really talked about this. I mean, the first time he was on with us, probably 2010 or 2011, he talked about how it was his priority. He worked in the European Union. He was in the government, and he wanted to dissolve it. He wanted to get Britain out of it.
Right.
He actually succeeded, and then here we are, years and years later. They're still fighting about it.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where I just don't understand. Like, it seems like every time something that's a priority to a prime minister doesn't go their way, they're like, "All right, I'm out."
Yeah.
I mean, I tried. I tried for like a year, and you guys don't want to do the thing I want you to do. So, see ya.
These coalition governments are really confusing because if you don't have enough members of your party voted into parliament, you can't govern. And you realize that,
right.
And then you strike some deal with some other party, and they take over.
Then, like, the 14 parties all get together. And
that's another thing. I don't understand the parties. The Tory party. I knew what the Tories were in the Revolutionary War.
Right.
I don't know what they are today.
Yeah, she's the leader of the Tory party now.
Right.
Right. And so, her resignation is effective June 7th, but she's not really leaving until maybe they find some replacement
July,
in July.
And I just can't understand.
I can't either. And are you going to vote on somebody, or you just put them in there? I think they vote.
They,
right?
I think they have
another election, which they can do elections at any time. That must cost them a fortune.
Yeah, because they're just like, I love when they're always like, you always get this story, like, Theresa May decided she was going to call for a new election. You're like, wait, what? Like, wait, they don't schedule these things in advance?
It's so weird.
They're like, you know what, 2 weeks, we're doing it. Like, it seems like what happens is whenever the prime minister thinks they've consolidated power or doing well in the polls, they just call for another election to try to get more power, which is a bizarre way of running
things.
That's
why we left that stupid country in the first place.
And we're the minority still. I mean, the parliamentary democracy has spread around the world, and a lot of times we talk about that essentially being how democracy is spread. I mean, like, a lot of countries have this type of system. Uh-huh. It's less like our type of system, which has proven to be vastly superior. Let's be honest about it.
It's just vastly better.
Again, there are a lot of problems here. I'm not going to sit here and say that there's no problems in this country, but the idea that, like, can you imagine if, like, Donald Trump had a good day and then he would just call for a new election and get like 80 senators? And then he's like, you know what? I want to pass the wall. And he couldn't get enough of his bill. He's like, all right, I'm stepping down. And you're like, wait, we elected you for, it's like we signed you to a 4-year contract.
Yes.
You know? And it was like, it would be as if, it's like everyone in Great Britain and all these other countries are like Le'Veon Bell. Like, they get signed, they get offered these deals and it's like, no, I'm not showing up this year. And like, wait, no, we signed you.
I'm going to sit out the parliament this year. I'm sitting it out.
Yeah.
What, you can? Really?
It really is weird.
Very strange. And to me, I don't know what the Tories are all about. The Labour Party seems to be like the Liberals here.
Yes, and the Tories are
very close to socialists.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then there's a conservative party that I don't think they're like American conservatives.
No, none of them are.
And then there's a Brexit party now. And the Brexit party has vastly increased their numbers over the last couple of years. And they just did a poll where if the election would have been held when they did the poll, apparently the Brexit party was maybe in the lead, I think.
Wow.
It had more support than the Labour and Tories combined.
And that may be who takes over in July.
Maybe.
Can you imagine the frustration, though, that you go through this whole thing where they put this up to a big vote. You've got a situation where your entire nation steps up and does something that was thought to be unthinkable by the entire world. We are pulling out of the European Union. We didn't like this experiment. We're out.
And I thought it was a great decision.
Oh, I do too. I'm fully behind, you know, the Daniel Hannan
view.
But
the elites, you know, a lot of the elites didn't think it was. They were not fully behind.
Right.
That's what Theresa May tried to do, is, you know, pull out, well, we're going to leave, but we're not really going to leave.
Well, May gets, you know, just destroyed by everybody here because she has no allies left really anymore. But I mean, the bottom line is she had to get something passed. So she can't just say, well, pure Brexit, you know, Daniel Hannan, you design it, because then none of the other people are going to vote for it. So like, she has to actually come up with something that everyone votes on, which is you know, near impossible. So they, the closer we get to this sort of deadline, they have this hard pullout thing, which I think is, you know, probably where this winds up, honestly, at this point. And I don't think it's going to be nearly as disastrous as everyone else is saying. But, I mean, think about this. When we had Obamacare going on in this country, and Obamacare is, they're going back and forth about it, trying to figure out what, you know, whether this thing is going to pass. Barack Obama's got 60 senators. He can pass anything he wants, you know, with the, just filibuster-proof majority here. He can pass anything he wants. So the Senate passes this bill, and as they're negotiating it, a special election happens, and of all places, Massachusetts, in the middle of this. And Scott Brown, is a Republican, somehow wins in Massachusetts almost entirely to stop Obamacare. And then the House just abandons the whole negotiation and takes basically takes a quirk of the rules and passes the thing that was already passed that they never planned on actually making into Obamacare. They just passed the old thing because they couldn't vote on it again because Scott Brown would have made it so they could not have passed it. And remember how we felt? How half the country felt? It was the whole Nancy Pelosi, we're going to pole vault over this. We're going to get it done. You'll see what's in it afterwards. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
That whole thing. That pissed off the entire country. It started, you know, the Tea Party was largely, you know, right in tune with that. We're talking one of the largest wave elections in the last century. I mean, it was a massive change in our country because of that. That's nothing compared to what's happened with Brexit. The people actually all came out and voted for it. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to do it. So thanks for your input, but no. And now it's been, you know, dragging on for so long.
And it's not like that was a non-binding referendum.
It was a big deal.
It was a big deal. Yeah. And it was they you want to get out of Brexit, we'll get out of Brexit. And then, nope, we don't want to. The elites, we don't want
to.
No,
we don't.
And the government called for it thinking it would be defeated. And we could finally be done with this whole leaving the EU thing. Because we'll just destroy it. Right. Stay will win. And leave will lose. And then, you know, or remain will win and leave will lose. And it's one of those things where now they're like, well, yeah, we didn't really like what you guys said, though. Well, I know we asked your opinion. It's like when you go
didn't really want it.
Right. It's like when you go to your wife and she says, oh, what do you want? What do you want to, where do you want to go to dinner? And she says, oh, I don't care. And then you're like, all right, Taco Bell. No, not Taco Bell. Well, why didn't you say something then? We're now in the drive-thru line. That's basically what they do.
Yeah.
And that is a that's a weird way to run a country.
So confusing. Yeah. It might just be time to send American troops and force the issue. Make them adopt our system. You know, it's just time.
It is weird that
it's just time.
There's not more of a rush to adopt the American system.
I know.
You know, like a lot of people will go towards democracy, towards capitalism. But because I think America's the big bad boy in the block and they're vilified over it, we're vilified over everything. There's very few countries who are just like, you know what? We were kind of watching this whole America thing develop the last couple hundred years, and it's pretty nice.
Yeah. Let's do that.
It's got some issues, but like I think we should get in that boat.
We have Supreme Court justices saying, you know, an African nation is better than ours.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not going to, nobody wants to be us.
And I guess because, my guess is because it does not allow for enough government control. If you're starting a new country and you've got the power to design it, well, you're going to put yourself into a position of power. That's why the founders were so freaking great.
It's because, so extraordinary.
Yeah. They were just like, you know what? We have the opportunity to do whatever we want. We could all be kings. We could all rule this place forever. Instead, let's give the power to the people. It's something that almost no one to this day really tries to do.
To the extent where when Washington was asked to be a king, he said, don't ever bring that up again.
Yeah.
Ever. Mm-hmm. That's what we left. And that's what we're trying to avoid. And I don't want to hear that kind of talk because it might spread.
Yeah.
So that takes a pretty amazing person.
It does.
To shut that down.
And in the new, you know, these countries, as they design their systems, they don't necessarily get, you know, they make themselves kings anymore. They just, well, we're going to take control of healthcare, banking, and energy.
Because we know better.
Because we know better. So that's like, you know, 75% of the economy we'll just run. And then we'll put heavy regulations on everything else. And we'll tell you exactly what you can and can't do. But you guys get to vote for the next person to tell you what you can and cannot do. That's the democracy of today.
It's bizarre.
It is, and again, you do have that moment, as much as we complain about it, remembering when you watch, you know, the whole situation going on in Britain, which is one of the best countries. Like they're like a good example of how things are run. You see how things are going there, and you step back and you say, okay, maybe we do have it pretty sweet here. I mean, maybe it's not so bad.
888-727-BECK. Be back in 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
According to the FBI, the average loss in a burglary is about $2,000. That's pretty hard to recover from. Even so, only one in five homes have home security. With SimpliSafe, there's no contracts, no hidden fees, no fine print, no wires. It's designed to blend right into your home. No drilling, nothing, no strings, no wires. It's easy to order and set up, and you can usually do it in less than an hour. SimpliSafe system has won a ton of awards, from CNET to the New York Times Wire Cutter. Around-the-clock monitoring is $15 a month. SimpliSafe, doing home security the right way. And SimpliSafe has a huge deal going on right now. Go to SimpliSafeBeck.com to get a free HD security camera when you order. That's a $100 value. Get your free HD security camera now by going to SimpliSafeBeck.com and ordering today. That's SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Pat and Stu and Jeffy for Glenn. He'll be back on Tuesday morning, 888-727-BECK. So yesterday, the American Taliban, John Walker Lind, was released early.
Amazing.
After 17 of his 20-year sentence. They just let him go, I guess, because of good behavior. And people are, including us, we're a little perplexed by that. But the New York Times apparently has a little different spin on it.
Yeah, which you would expect, of course. Mm-hmm. The Times has an op-ed talking about the release of John Walker Lind, and they're basically making they're to his defense attorneys here. They say, hard to imagine now after everything that's happened in the brutal decades since, but there was a time when we were fairly cozy with the Taliban. Now, of course, we know this. Famously, there's pictures of Donald Rumsfeld, and these were trotted out constantly during the administration. For much of the 1990s, when an earnest, bookish California teenager named John Walker Lind first felt himself drawn to the study of Islam.
That's a friendly telling.
The United States lent its support to plans by an American-led group of businesses to develop an oil pipeline that would run through Afghanistan. This would require negotiations with the Taliban, the world's most oppressive Muslim regime. Government officials who had misgivings about human rights abuses in Afghanistan largely kept their reservations to themselves. Not long before, in the Reagan era, the term Mujahideen had a heroic ring to it. These were fierce and noble Afghan warriors, our president assured us, fighting with limited resources to liberate their country from Soviet oppression. Now, of course, you get the tone of this, which is Lind is just a teenager, no big deal. And it was really these Republicans that we were the reason why we were friendly with these oppressive regimes. The official stance, of course, changed after September 11th. And this is one thing I didn't know or didn't remember, at least, about this case. All these events of September 11th were all but unimaginable in mid-2000 when Lind, age 19, decided to travel to the Middle East to study the Quran. So they are making the case, and not explicitly saying, but insinuating at least, that Lind joined the Taliban before 9/11 by a good year or so. So, and at this point, while certainly Osama bin Laden was known in circles of terrorism, mm-hmm. It wasn't like the main headline of the United States that the Taliban were, was a bad group of people. And someone who's a teenager could easily think that it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world. Now, of course, you have September 11th happens, and we should talk about maybe, I don't know if Jason's in today. I think he is, because he was doing your show, right?
Yes.
Pat Gray Unleashed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jason Buttrell, who was actually there when John Walker Lind was they captured him. He was like when he was waterboarded, he was there. Like he's a former military guy and was
he the one waterboarding him?
I asked him that would be cool. And I said, I was like, if it's true, he won't tell me. But he did say no. But he said he was like, I don't know if he was in the room, but he was like right there. He saw the guy. We got to talk to him about this.
Wouldn't you like to work with the guy who waterboarded?
Oh, totally.
John Walker Lind? I think that'd be interesting.
I'd like to work with someone who waterboarded Jeffy.
Yes.
I would really respect.
That would not be fun.
Now, we all work with people who waterboarded Stu Bergier.
Thank you.
Well, insureboarded.
Insureboarded. Yes, that's right. It wasn't water.
I was waterboarded with a chocolatey shake, which was far too chocolatey for that treatment. That's one to go back on YouTube and find today.
Yeah.
The consequences of the decision, of course, John Walker Lind, are a matter of public record. 2 months after the Twin Towers had fallen, 6 weeks after the United States dropped its first bomb on Afghanistan, a few hundred Taliban soldiers held as prisoners of war in fortress, staged an uprising. Over the next 8 days, all but 86 of those prisoners would die, as well as a great number of their jailers and a man named John Spann. Michael Spann, Johnny Michael Spann was his actual name, who was serving a CIA advisor. He's the first person who died in that war. And of course, they found that one of the people was an American, John Walker Lind. Now, this is their take on the whole prison riot thing, which is one of the big issues with Lind. How is this guy getting out of prison? He was responsible for the death of a CIA agent, the first death in the Afghanistan war. Mm-hmm. They say there was no evidence that this young American had taken an active part in the violence. In fact, it was later determined that he had been hiding in the basement for the bulk of the conflict, which I don't know.
I've never heard that.
Makes me laugh a little bit.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
The Taliban had sheltered Osama bin Laden, after all, and therefore every abettor of his regime, no matter how inconsequential, was a terrorist as well. They go on and say that basically Lind was a teenager, didn't even know the Taliban was bad when he joined, had no role in this at all, gets 20 years unfairly, is their case. Like, shouldn't even have had that. So he gets 20 years, which was a plea agreement, and then he's released, and people are going to give him a hard time on it, and he should be out of prison. That is the case of the New York Times. Now, to me, it's interesting because, and I think this is a positive for our country and our system. And it's the type of thing that as much as I don't like when it goes wrong like this, it's something I'm proud of when it comes to the United States, which is the guy served his term. He served his time. He got 20 years. Now, he did get 17 years because of good behavior, but that was part of his sentencing from the beginning. If he had good behavior, he would be out. They are saying it doesn't matter if he's reformed or not. There's nothing he can do. Trump yesterday came out and said, look, I went, I asked, is there anything I can do about this? And they said, no, there's nothing I can do about this. So,
and you do kind of like the fact that the president doesn't necessarily have that kind of power.
Yeah, and shouldn't.
You could do that to any of your enemies. As president.
Right. You could say, oh, well, I think he's a real risk, and then keep him in prison forever.
Yep. Yeah.
That would not be a good development. So the fact that we're letting him out, while I think in this case is really bad, because it does seem like he's not reformed.
Because he's not reformed.
Yeah. I mean, even the media is not trying to make the case that he's reformed.
Yeah.
I mean, his dad
I think his dad, yeah.
It's about it.
Said, but if you look at his statements in the past few years, they're pretty jihad friendly.
Yeah.
they're like, yeah, I'm going to get back to being radical as soon as I get out of this dump.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And what do you think? I wonder what his first thing was. I feel like, you know, where does he go first? It's like Wendy's or something. Like, there's something he wants to do really badly. I don't know if it's Wendy's for John Walker Lind. Might be for us. But like, what's the first thing he does? And then, does this guy get a job? Like, what's he doing for the rest of his life?
Who's going
to hire John Walker Lind? Probably the New York Times, actually. He'll probably be an op-ed contributor.
Yes. Yeah.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
I needed new blinds. I knew I could save a ton of money if I put them in myself, but I was nervous about measuring right and then installing them. That's why I went to Blinds.com. I'd heard their ads on the radio, how they're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. But I still had to install them. So I called my design consultant, Carla. She talked me through it all, from picking the right blinds to installing them. Plus, the online design consultation was free. Samples were free. Shipping was free. My home looks perfect.
It's the Memorial Day Mega Sale. With over 15 million windows covered and more than 30,000 five-star customer reviews, Blinds.com is America's number one choice. Every order gets free samples, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to Blinds.com now to transform your home at the lowest prices of the year. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, listeners save an extra $20 with promo code BECK. Blinds.com, promo code BECK. Rules and restrictions apply.
Socialism is a disease.
We've got the cure.
Inoculate yourself with a daily dose of Glenn at glennbeck.com or wherever podcasts are found.
Pat and Stu, bless Jeffy on this Friday. We've been talking about, for Glenn, by the way, we've been talking about the American Taliban, Johnny Walker Lind, and his release yesterday and whether or not he should have been released. And there's not much we can do about it now because He has been released.
Yeah.
But Jason Buttrell, or Buttrell, I just said it like Glenn does,
yeah,
right?
That's right. Well, yes, you're in that chair.
Because I'm in that chair. So, Jason, you were actually there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was in
country, the Marines at the time.
It was, as part of the Marine Corps, I was in the initial invasion force. And actually, I was in when September 10th, we pulled into Australia, and we were doing an exercise with Australian Marines. And we were just kind of hanging out at like a sports bar, just watching TV after the exercise. And we saw the towers come down, and we thought it was like an Australian movie. We had no idea what was going on.
Oh, wow.
Literally like 30 minutes later, the shore patrol came around, gathered everybody up, put us out on the boats. We were in Afghanistan just a couple months later. It was absolutely insane.
Wow.
Yeah. But I had gotten the intel reports that there was an American Taliban while we were in Afghanistan. And I read everything, and we were just like, our jaws hit the floor. We were like, what in the heck? And most of us just wanted a shot at him, pretty much. We found out about the uprising. The CIA officer that was killed at the time was one of the first Americans to go down. And so that hit us all really hard. And so I remember pouring over that because we were like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, this is for real. Like most of us, I think, had joined the military because we wanted to pay off our school loans, you know, that. But now this got real. And I just remember being livid, reading about everything that was involved in that. This guy, John Lynn, knew everything that was going on. The people that he traveled all over the Middle East. I think a lot of people don't know this, but when he left California, he went out searching for the radicals of the radicals.
According to his father, though, he was just trying to find himself.
Oh, absolutely ridiculous.
And according to the New York Times today, They say that, you know, look, the Taliban wasn't even known to be bad. He joined them before 9/11. So, you know, like he had no idea that they were a bad group.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
You're taking exception to that? That's
wrote
the paper
this?
Of record.
Who wrote this?
John Ray of the New York Times.
He first went to Yemen, got hooked up with Al Qaeda there, went to Afghanistan, hooked up and hung out with Al Qaeda in Afghanistan, also hung out with Taliban. Al Qaeda and the Taliban were like, they were, you know, shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
They were the exact same thing. To say that he didn't know what he was doing is just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
And by 2000, they're saying that he joined in 2000 and nobody knew. And the Taliban were essentially our allies because of Afghanistan. You know, they fought side by side with us.
Against the Soviets.
The Soviets. But by 2000, people knew about Osama bin Laden.
USS Cole by then.
And the Taliban.
I mean, you had a lot of these big attacks had already occurred, just not 9/11 yet.
Right. But for him to not have any knowledge of the attack and the insurrection that happened, you don't buy that.
Because they are saying...
absolutely not.
In case you missed the story earlier, the New York Times is saying John Walker Lind was at the prison where the uprising occurred. However, he hid in the basement.
Cowering
is what they said. They said, yeah. They said it later determined that he had been hiding in the basement for the bulk of the conflict.
You buy that?
No. Everything that I read at the time is that it was a plot amongst the Al Qaeda and the other people that were in prison there. They had, if memory serves, they had gotten their hands on some hand grenades, I believe. Mm. And that was their big plot, was they were going to hide these hand grenades. They all knew about it, including Lind. He knew that that this was the plan. That the plan was to hide and house. Man, I hope I'm not giving out classified information here. This could be dangerous.
Breaking news! See, when Glenn's out, this is when the real news breaks.
This is a while ago.
You are absolutely not giving out classified, Jason. Keep going.
Okay, keep going more and more.
Yeah.
But the plot was around some hand grenades that the Al Qaeda terrorists had. Lind knew about it, and when the plan happened, he was an accessory to it. Mm-hmm. He was an accessory to it.
Yeah.
He didn't raise his hand and say, hey, they've got these hand grenades, guys. Be careful. We're about to attack. No, because he was a radical ideologue. He was an ideologue. After they took him and after he was accessory to the CIA officer's murder, they took him to my patrol base. So it was a pretty cool scene, actually. They landed in the middle of the night at our patrol base. There was CIA, there was two SEAL teams, two force recon teams. They were fully dressed up, you know, in black, you know, masks and everything. Mm-hmm. Brought him out. And I remember thinking, if I'm in his position, I would be scared.
You are lying.
He looked battered. He did not have a good hair day going on at the time. He was very dirty. And he was shot in the leg, I believe. And we took him straight to a Connex box, like a shipping container box.
Yeah.
Put him in there, and we got him ready for questioning. And I remember thinking I would be scared out of my mind if I was him. He did not look scared out of his mind. He was an ideologue. He looked proud. That's the look that he gave us all. Looked us straight in the eyes, and he was proud. Wow. He was not remorseful then. He's not remorseful now.
Yeah, we've
This is
he's made amazing statements for somebody who's getting out of prison. He's talked about how he's going to get back to jihad and extremism as soon as he gets out.
Yeah.
So,
and the restrictions that the court put on him are just so stupid. Did you see this? The restrictions?
Yeah. He can't speak anything but English.
Yeah,
I guess.
Can't speak Arabic and he can't communicate. He could go online and he could talk to whoever he wants, but not in Arabic.
Okay, so if
what?
If he's not dangerous, then why are you regulating how he can, what language he can speak?
Yeah.
You're going to assign a personal psychiatrist for him.
You can use a suicide vest, but it has to be made in America.
It has to be made in America.
This is, I think I have the same point all the time when it comes to like Megan's Law. Where like they're reporting the child molesters. It's like, if you need to tell me this guy is a child molester, he should probably still be in prison.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like I appreciate the effort here, but like if you think I need to know that this guy was touching little kids, maybe you should kind of keep him behind bars.
How did the original charge that he was given and convicted for? That's, I guess that's the root of this entire problem.
Yeah.
Like, why was it?
The plea deal.
Right. Like, why?
It seemed like they went after treason, too. I think it says in here, at least, that they did go after treason initially. And they had threatened him with 3 life sentences, which they were going after. And then they gave him a plea deal for 20 years.
Yeah, they couldn't find 2 witnesses or something, which you have to do with treason, I believe. I believe there has to be 2 witnesses. And it seems like I vaguely remember them saying, yeah, we don't have 2 witnesses.
Hmm. Which I don't understand because everything I was reading at the time was very specific. Hmm. We knew all the places that he had been to, all the groups that he was associated with. You knew the reason why he was doing it. At the time, you're talking about like it was known who Al-Qaeda was. They had already basically declared, that not basically, they had already declared war on the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Osama bin Laden was like, had declared war because we were in Saudi Arabia.
We had the embassy bombings by then. I mean, we had a lot of stuff that had gone on. USS Cole had gone on by then.
It was no secret.
No.
It wasn't. We called him the American Taliban, but he was also running with Al-Qaeda. You know, the people that had just attacked us. How can you not charge him with treason? Why do you need 2 witnesses to
I kind of wonder if some of this isn't because we apparently waterboarded him, right? It wasn't that the big deal that there was some mistreatment of him?
Were you the one that waterboarded him?
I was not.
Okay.
No, I was not. Dang it.
See, I was hoping because you're filling in for Pat Gray Unleashed this week, you're so tired that you might just blurt it out. That was the big design of the segment.
It's okay, Jason. You could admit it.
You ever been actually waterboarded?
Yes.
As part of training or whatever?
Yes. Pretty much everyone that...
it's kind of unpleasant.
A little bit.
From what I understand.
A little bit. Well, it's...
Does it feel like you're drowning?
Absolutely feels like you're drowning. You fit.
So weird.
So enhanced interrogation techniques. Have I talked about this before? Like,
I don't know. Talk about it now, though. Yeah.
Okay, so enhanced interrogation techniques that everyone's hitting on. People have called it torture. I've seen what happens in torture in country. This is not torture. Mm-hmm. This is
what I've always said.
Psychologists have looked at this.
I mean,
and they
I want anybody to do it to me today.
Right. But there's a big group of things
there's
that are...
There's a reason to do it to me today.
Like, I don't want to go on a treadmill today. I don't know if that's torture.
Right?
There's
it's
a
close.
Lot... Yeah, it's close.
It's close.
There's a big... At a certain elevation, you know, once you get a certain degrees, you know, you're on level 10 or 12, then it becomes torture.
Yes.
But I mean, there's a large group of things that are unpleasant but not torture.
Right.
And we just like to group everything into the torture realm because we want, you know, man, the American press wants to vilify the U.S. military all the time.
So you essentially put a towel over their face, right? And then just pour water on them.
Yeah. They lean back and you pour it over.
And that's the entirety of it.
Yes. But it's supposed to, it plays off of fears. So like psychiatrists have looked at this and said there's a certain few things that everybody in the world, if you're a human being, a normal human being, not psychotic, is scared of. And some people aren't scared of the same stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's a progression. They don't go straight to, oh, we got this guy. Let's go immediately to waterboarding. Waterboarding is one of the final steps.
Right. There's like the barking dogs is one of them, right? Like blindfolded with barking dogs.
Right. And again, that's on
what
one of the
naked
extreme
pyramids.
Measures.
Remember the naked pyramids?
Yeah.
We made the prisoners get into.
But one of the things is you bring them in.
Picture of them.
Right. You bring them in at night, right? You put them in a shipping container. Those are steps, right?
Right. Okay. So you're exactly right. So one of the first ones is some people get scared just by someone. It actually starts out with nothing at all, just offering something. And some of them get right in. If that doesn't work, then they'll give the appearance that they're like, you know, the good cop, bad cop and scream at them.
Sure.
Some people can't handle someone screaming at them like a drill instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And they fold instantly. Mm-hmm. Then it goes forward. It's scared of the dark. Some people are scared of the dark. Some people are scared of loud animals. Some people are scared of real loud music. You've maybe seen movies where they like turn up,
you know, yeah, the real like loud. And sleep deprivation is part of that too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It all goes all into that. And then eventually, usually people just end up giving you whatever they want right in those first few steps.
Eventually it leads to playing Barry Manilow for him.
And that's the ultimate.
That's everybody
step
breaks.
Too far.
Everybody
that's,
breaks.
That's classified. You can't say that's the ultimate.
Oh, I did it. I knew you guys were going to back me into this.
So waterboarding, it does, and you had the situation happen. We'll come back to that in a second.
According to the FBI, the average loss in a burglary is about $2,000. That's pretty hard to recover from. Even so, only 1 in 5 homes have home security. With SimpliSafe, there's no contracts, no hidden fees, no fine print, no wires. It's designed to blend right into your home. No drilling, nothing, no strings, no wires. It's easy to order and set up, and you can usually do it in less than an hour. SimpliSafe system has won a ton of awards, from CNET to the New York Times Wire Cutter. Around-the-clock monitoring is $15 a month. SimpliSafe, doing home security the right way. And SimpliSafe has a huge deal going on right now. Go to SimpliSafeBeck.com to get a free HD security camera when you order. That's a $100 value. Get your free HD security camera now by going to SimpliSafeBeck.com and ordering today. That's SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Pat and Stu and Jeffy for Glenn this week. 888-727-BECK. Been talking about the release of John Walker Lind, the American Taliban. Don't confuse the American Taliban for Gadan the American, who is a spokesperson for Al-Qaeda. You might remember this frightening warning.
Pull every last one of your soldiers, spies, security advisors, trainers, attachés,
hairdressers,
and so on. Out
interior
of every
decorator.
Muslim land from
Afghanistan to Zanzibar.
Should so much as one single American soldier or spy remain on
even
Islamic
one.
Soil,
we'll give you such a hit.
It will be considered sufficient justification for us to continue our defensive jihad against your nation and people.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, so it's not
that's
that guy.
That's not John Walker.
That guy's gone. We lost him. And so... Maybe I broke that a little too quickly.
Yeah, why don't you reiterate that?
There's a bomb coming.
Oh, no.
Where Gadan the American is in the vicinity
of. I hope he's protected.
No. Ooh, the bomb went off. It killed him. He's gone. We lost him.
They didn't even bring him to surgery?
Was that better? No, there was not enough left to operate on.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we found out today that John Walker Lind, a normal American teenager, he was trying to find himself.
Just a frightened boy.
Joined a group that were our allies,
right,
the Taliban.
At one time.
And in the end, was wrongfully accused of a prison riot when he
just
was just a coward.
Just falling in with the wrong crowd.
Yeah, that's sad.
That's all he did. Who among us hasn't? We're sitting here with Jeffy right now.
Yes.
It's easy to do. It's
you know,
easy to
it
do.
Is.
The wrong crowd.
It is.
So we've learned that from the media today. And we've also learned that it is now time, in case you were setting your calendars to this fact, it is now time for everyone to switch sides again on Julian Assange. So if you were wondering, like, what in the pool...
Side I'm on now.
Whatever you're on now is probably you want to go to the other side, because it started off that liberals loved Julian Assange and conservatives hated Julian Assange. Mm-hmm. And then in 2016, when the Hillary stuff was going on, conservatives started loving Julian Assange and liberals hated Julian Assange.
Right.
Well, now the Trump administration has charged Assange, and now they hate Julian Assange. But now the liberals are saying, wait a minute, you're attacking our journalist protections. We love Julian Assange. So whatever side you are on, make a note for later on today. You're supposed to flip-flop and argue the exact opposite side.
All right.
And again, plan your next vacation from whatever position you're on now on Assange for about 6 months.
And where are we on Russia? Are they good or are they bad this week?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. Okay. We'll have to check. We need websites to just tell us what side is supposed to be on. Uh-huh. It's amazing to see the left and the journalists go back and forth on these things. And, you know, both sides do it to some extent. But there's never a point in which they acknowledge previously they felt the exact opposite
way. Oh, no. Never.
It's just they just go on as if those times didn't occur. And people, generally speaking, in their audience are just like, okay, well, there you go. I guess that's the right way now.
Remember the Comey deal when we were supposed to like Comey and then we hated Comey?
Yes. And Comey was like another
Comey.
Big
Comey
one.
Comey was a big one. I mean, it came out. And even people didn't even know it was the change day.
Yeah, it really was.
What's his face's stupid television show? He didn't alert the audience that it was change day.
It's amazing.
So he mentioned Comey's name, and the audience is like, yeah, no, we hate him today. No, no, we changed. It was amazing.
It really is incredible. I don't remember this. I remember, let's go back in ancient history now. John Kerry running for president. Oh. He basically loses the election, arguably, because of one commercial that Republicans play incessantly where he says, I did vote for the $86 billion, $7 billion before I voted against it.
Right.
Remember that whole thing?
Yes.
Like, I don't think anyone cares about those flip-flops anymore. Like, the flip-flop is dead. Uh-huh. It's just like, what is the thing we're supposed to believe today and argue it as passionately as possible? And you see this in the media. You see it in, all in politics. There is no longer a position that's held by the party. Like, there's not a consistent position. And right now, and we made this point yesterday. I would love to see this happen. Right now, sure, it seems like Republicans are pro-life and Democrats are pro-choice. I want Donald Trump to come out and just be like, you know what? I'm pro-choice. You'd see the media making every argument about babies that they could come up with. They'd be like, these poor, innocent children.
Yeah. If that gets us a win, I'm almost for it.
Can you believe Trump's disregard for human life? That's what they'd be saying.
Yes, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
And global warming is another one. They'd just be like, do you believe this? I mean, Donald Trump thinks SUVs are warming the planet? This guy's insane.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
One of the great things about the American system is, of course, the innovation that it's provided. And healthcare is a big part of this. I mean, creating new innovative drugs to fight diseases, new innovative treatments. I mean, that is, you know, why the American system is better than all of these other socialist systems. And it's the only reason any of these other socialist systems can handle it is because they take all the stuff that we made and they put it in their system. Well, it's nice when you have a country that's innovating like this. It's easier to have a socialist healthcare system. However, we don't want to go down that road. And FreedomWorks is working hard to make sure that does not happen here in the United States. We've already had too far of a push towards socialism here. We do not need to go any further. There's a big thing about price fixing when it comes to medications, which is going to stifle innovation. We know that one of the great things about this is innovation. So go to freedomworksforme.com, freedomworksforme.com. Check that out now, freedomworksforme.com.
Fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Featuring today, Pat Stu and Jeffy. Glenn's back on Tuesday after Memorial Day. 888-727-BECK. Yesterday was a big day. Nancy Pelosi bashing President Trump. President Trump responding, of course, because that's what he does.
Oh, he has to.
He has to.
It's a must.
And then, of course, there's this big controversy over the posting of Nancy Pelosi videos where somebody, I don't know who, but Rudy Giuliani tweeted it out and said, what's wrong with Nancy Pelosi? They slowed down the video so it sounds like she's drunk when she's talking.
It is a fun trick to do on anybody.
It is.
Anytime you slow down just a little bit, the audio, it just is hilarious.
Here's the first one is her slowed down and then it quickly goes into the actual sound.
We want to give this president the opportunity
right.
to do something historic for our country.
Okay, so it sounds like she had a nip or two. just a little nip this morning. And then here's the actual video.
We want to give this president the opportunity to do something historic for our country.
Okay, so clearly somebody's trying to make her look bad. I don't know who it was, but because somebody in the Trump administration or the Trump team tweeted it out, now they're blaming President Trump for it.
Right.
I don't think he's sitting at an edit bay right now, slowing up her audio and video clips. I think he probably has a little too much on his plate to be doing that.
And he would, I mean, he would tell you, I don't need to do that.
Right.
I don't need to do that.
I mean, they get beat because was it Giuliani that shared it?
Giuliani shared
initially,
it, right.
And they get, you know, and he thought that it was real and he thought did. That there was something wrong with
and
her.
When
which
he realized
you would
it
think,
was, and he took it down.
Yeah, and he took it down.
Because we've played many Nancy Pelosi clips that weren't edited or altered in any way, and she does this. She slurs and she sounds like, you know, something's wrong with her.
Yes.
We've talked about that in the past. So it's kind of logical to think that that was a real audio or video. It just turns out it wasn't this time.
Yeah. So I don't think it's a, again, these things turn into international incidents all the time.
Sure. Yes, they do.
And
because
not
of
because
the media.
Right, not because they're real, because they see it as an opportunity to bash the president and the administration and say how evil Republicans are. When, of course, you know, like, you're telling me, you go online, you just tell me Democrats aren't sharing fake stuff all the time. Of course they are. Of course they are. You know, this is, you do open yourself up to it. Especially if you're Rudy Giuliani and an attorney, you probably should be a little careful online with what you're doing. I mean, you're representing the president of the United States in personal matters. You probably don't want to be sharing fake videos.
No, I mean, you probably want to, before you hit send, you probably want to look at it one more time.
Yeah.
That's all.
Take a break, you know, but I mean, this is the world we live in now. Mm-hmm. This would have been interesting commentary in 2008. All right, like it's 2019. Mm-hmm. You know, celebrities are doing this all the time. Politicians are doing it all the time. We have just entered that world where people aren't careful anymore. I remember when Glenn was doing the TV show and we started out. I can't remember if it was CNN days or Fox days, and he was in the middle of writing something on the chalkboard. And like the chalkboard is like a difficult thing. As it doesn't seem like it would be difficult to do,
right.
But Glenn's in the middle of doing a TV show. He has to look at all the elements that are coming up, like what video is next and what order are these things going on. He's doing a monologue and he's writing on the board. And I can't remember what word it was, but he misspelled a word on the board. And there was a reason. I can't remember what it was at this point, but it was something like it was either misspelled in the script or like he did like a Ron Burgundy and just wrote it the way he saw it. I can't remember what the situation was. It was not a word he didn't know how to spell, but he just screwed it up on the air. And that haunted him for like years. Like Dan Quayle misspelling potato back in the day. It was like a big deal. Everyone was like, "Oh, can you believe this guy can't spell words?"
That's why he's still a little sensitive.
Oh, he's very hesitant to spell
about writing things.
Every time he does it with chalkboard, he makes sure someone checks it to make sure. You know, and when you
can't blame him.
Yeah, I know, and
I mean,
that's
I'm
something
not a
that should happen.
Apologist like you, Stu, but you know, you can't blame him.
Right, and so, but now. I mean, it doesn't feel like people make mistakes that are much worse than anything that from the old days, and no one cares.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because it's constant. You're constantly berated. Like, there was a time where you thought maybe celebrities had some level of intelligence. Then you see them tweet. And it's like, okay, well, we know they're idiots. Like, we thought, we were wondering if they're, they're idiots. That is acting. When they act like, when they're playing the role of a doctor, they're not really a doctor. You kind of get to the sense of that pretty quickly when you see them spell.
You do. Yes, you do. 888-727-BECK. More coming up in 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Debt can quietly build up, and the high interest rates tied to some of your credit cards or personal loans can really take away from your savings. But don't fear, because if you're a homeowner, there is a solution. Hi, it's Glenn Beck, and joining me is Gabby Maldonado. She's the co-founder of American Financing. I want her to tell you how if you become a customer of American Financing, you'll get out of debt faster.
I appreciate that. We really are dedicated to creating solutions that help customers consolidate debt and save up to $1,000 a month. By tapping into your home equity, you can pay off high-interest debts at a much lower rate.
This is a process that works because you're getting a lower rate and you're not adding years to your loan. It just takes 10 minutes to get started, and you can close in as fast as 10 days. So make the call now at 800-906-2440 or online at AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
More vitriol, of course, from the left. directed at President Trump. Nancy Pelosi wants an intervention for him, which, I mean, I guess that's okay to say about the president when you're the Speaker of the House now. If that had happened during the Obama years, as with every single story,
yes,
all hell would have broken loose by now. The Speaker of the House would have been vilified if they would have said an intervention is necessary with Obama and make him sound like, you know, he's crazy or he's insane or just completely out of control. You'd be a racist. They used to throw that label out at us when we criticized him for anything. And our criticism was never anything approaching what the Democrats do to Trump now. Well, unbelievable, the hatred.
That's really the main use, I think, of identity politics at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people talk about it in terms of like, well, they will try to give money to minority groups so they get minority groups votes, or they'll try to give benefits to a certain minority group, or they'll talk nicely about them to try to get their votes. And that's, of course, part of it. But the other side of it is, I think, more the real use of today, which is if you have someone who's in a protected group, there, you always have the defense of saying no matter what the accusation is, it's based on race. Mm-hmm. Or it's based always. On, right? Like
whatever the group is.
If Pete Buttigieg, right, becomes president of the United States and he has a crappy tax policy, when you say he has a crappy tax policy, they'll say you don't like gays. So they don't actually have to defend the policy. They'll just say you are a hater of gays or you're a hater of women or you're a hater of African Americans, whatever the group is. And so that becomes the catch-all for every single defense of every single thing that someone does that is in this protected class. It's mm-hmm. like the main reason why you don't want Joe Biden to be the nominee, because he's basically the only one in the field that has a chance to win that isn't in some protected group, right? I mean, you pretty much can go through the entire list. I mean, you have obviously, Bernie Sanders, you have Kamala Harris, Klobuchar, she's a woman, Cory Booker, and then Elizabeth Warren, of course, is Native American. So she's in a protected group as well. 1/1024th protected.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So I think that there is it works on both sides. This is why the left loves to embrace it. They don't have to make arguments about their points. They just say you're a racist, and it's a catch-all for every single argument.
And Buttigieg had something interesting to say about the president, which I don't know that this is true, but he said it as if it's proven fact.
Do you think he should have served in Vietnam?
Well, I have a pretty dim view of his decision to use his privileged status to fake a disability in order to avoid serving in Vietnam.
Hmm. You believe he faked a disability?
Do you believe he has a disability? Yeah.
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 At least not that one. He
That's making fun of people, which is okay.
Uh-huh. He jumps
this
in.
This is actually really important because I don't mean to trivialize disability, but I think that's exactly what he did.
Wow.
But I mean,
has anybody stated a fact that he didn't have bone spurs when he had claimed to have bone spurs back in, what was it, the late 60s or early 70s when it was time for Vietnam service? I think that's why he wasn't drafted, but I'm not aware that he faked that.
I would say that's generally thought to have been the case, but I don't know that there's evidence of it, right? Like there was something else. I can't remember there's another thing right around there where he passed some physical or something like that around the time where then he went for another one and got bone spurs after. Like, it was something like that. Like, I can't remember what. Do you remember what it was, Jeffy?
No, I was trying as you mentioned it there again, in that story, because that was with his father.
Right.
Was still around making some choices for son Donald at that time, too.
Yeah, they were good. But, I mean, again, first of all, it's ancient history.
Yeah.
Right. Second of all, there was a lot of that went on in that era. Mm-hmm. The draft to me is a terrible, terrible thing and should not be. It's ridiculous.
Shouldn't ever come back.
And I hope it doesn't. Mm-hmm. There were plenty of people on the left. And honestly, I mean, at that point, Donald Trump is probably a Democrat. Right. I mean, he's probably at that point in his life, not even a Republican. But a lot of people did that, and especially a lot of people with lives that were privileged did that. There was, that did occur. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a good thing, but a bigger story there is that we should not be taking people unwilling to join the military and throw them in the middle of our battles. That's not a good idea. That's not something. I mean, that you want to talk about last resort area. Mm-hmm. That's where the draft should live. I mean, you know, maybe if you're in, you know, maybe if the Nazis are currently bombing Kansas, maybe that's something you may. And I will say, at that point, you're not going to need to draft anyone. There's going to be plenty of people willing to fight there. But yeah, I mean, that is part of the situation with war, right? Like, that's part of the when you're going to send the military of war, this is why you actually make sure you make a good case of it, and you make sure that you've convinced the American people that it's the right thing to do. Because if you don't, then you have situations like this where, you know, people aren't volunteering enough and you feel like you need to institute draft. The draft should not be something that happens, though. I mean, I would think that that's one of those things. If you're in the military, do you really want to be fighting next to someone who is like, I'd rather not be here. I don't believe in this cause. That does not seem like the type of person you'd want next to you. Now, a lot of people who were drafted fought valiantly, and many went and died, you know, during the draft, and their service should be honored. I mean, they really should. But I mean, I don't think that's a good generalized policy for a military. You want people to be really into it. You know, you want people who are going.
Yeah, who have chosen to do it. Mm-hmm. Exactly. 888-727-BECK. Back in about 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I love getting mail from listeners who respond to our advertisements. And I've been telling you about Blinds.com for a long time. And I got this letter in from Tommy. He lives in Claremont, Florida. And he said, Glenn, our blinds were perfect. We saved a ton of money. I feel like they're higher quality than the box store product. Our windows look brand new with our Blinds.com order. I have several other window blinds that really need replacing, and I will definitely be using Blinds.com. Thank you so much for letting us know about this, and thank you, Blinds.com, for employing such great people who meet and exceed the customer's expectations. That says everything. Take advantage of Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Now you can enjoy their lowest prices of the year. You'll save up to 50% on everything. Plus, Beck listeners will save an extra $20 on top of that with promo code Beck. That's Blinds.com to save 50% site-wide. Plus, save an extra $20 with promo code Beck.
Pat's doing Jeffy for Glenn. 888-727-BECK. Things are kind of heating up on the Democrat side. Apparently in Iowa, there's a dead heat now between Biden and Bernie Sanders.
Wow.
As far as the town halls that all these cable channels are doing, here's how badly Beto O'Rourke is doing right now. First of all, he's doing so badly, I think we mentioned this briefly yesterday, that no other candidates are doing any opposition research on him anymore. Wow. Just all stopped it. It went from dozens to zero. There are no research projects right now on Beto O'Rourke.
And like, as inexplicable as the rise of Beto O'Rourke is, to me, the same can be said about the fall.
About the collapse,
there's no real reason. He didn't do anything horrifically wrong. He didn't have a major scandal. He didn't have a giant gaffe. People were just like, yeah, we really like you. And they're toying with him to get him into the race. And as soon as he got in the race, like, yeah, we actually hate your guts.
You know what I think it was? I think it was that little, I'm getting in my car by myself, and I'm driving around the country, stopping in at weird places, and I'm going to find myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to find
myself. But that was before he got in.
Yes,
it was. And he got in and immediately was at, what, you know, 12 and 15%. Yeah. I mean, he was second or third place when he got into the race. And just every day, another poll comes out where he's 1 point lower, and there's only so many days that you can pull that one off. I mean, eventually you get to zero.
And I'm not sure it's about his policies, because he doesn't have any.
Right.
Well, he has one. He wants to bring about gun control. Here's what he said the other day about eliminating guns.
That weapons of war designed for use on the battlefield are no longer sold into our communities, so they don't end up in our schools or our synagogues, in our churches. We can save even more lives. Two more steps that I want to take. Red flag laws. And not just do it town by town or state by state, but do it nationally, so that anyone who exhibits a tendency to harm themselves or to harm somebody else can be stopped before they do that. And then the last part, let's make sure that we invest in the counseling and the mental health and the therapy necessary for people to get the care that they need.
Do you support mandatory federal licensing for guns, gun owners rather, in the United States, similar to what you hear from Cory Booker?
I think that's something that, we need to look at. And I'm grateful to Senator Booker for taking a bold approach to a very urgent problem that we have right now. Mm-hmm. But I would start with those four steps that I just outlined. Mm-hmm. There's consensus there. There's agreement. We're going to be able to make progress. But yes, I think this is something that should be debated. We should have a full hearing on that. And if it makes sense to the American public, then let's move forward.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll do some polls. And if it turns out people like, if they're popular, then I'll be for them. If they're not popular, I'll be against them.
Yeah, that is, I guess, if you were going to say the one big problem right now, it's that. He keeps saying things like that.
He does.
You know, like, if the American people like it, we'll move forward, is not what the Democrats want to hear right now.
Not at all.
They want to hear, like, I want socialism whether people want it or not. Like, that's what they want to hear.
You're going to get it. You're going to get it with me.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They want someone who's going to, you know, the way they see Trump. Right. They see Trump doing whatever he wants to do, which is, of course, not true. But that's what that's their vision of him. And they want that action on their side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Beto, one of the big things you could say about him is he does not have an extensive amount of policy plans.
No, he doesn't.
And that's one of the reasons why he's fallen. I mean, if there's one candidate who I would say is in the middle of Biden, obviously, he's in a category of his own right now. I mean, it's his to lose. But if there's another one of these lower candidates that's having a bit of a moment, I would say it's probably Elizabeth Warren right now. And the reason is because, I mean, she's got a policy for everything, and people like talking about that they care about that. Now, in reality, of course, they don't. None of these people have actually read any of the policies. But her brand of being the person who comes up with a new policy for every issue is very attractive to a Democrat who thinks the federal government should do everything for you. I mean, you know, Beto talks about that. I don't want to go state to state. I don't go town by town for these rules. I want it to be federal. Well, of course you do. That's the entire definition of your philosophy. It's the exact opposition of what the country was built on, federalism, which is where we did go state to state and see what works. And then other states would pick that stuff up. You want to do everything federally. And you know what? When it comes to the Second Amendment, you have no wiggle room. I mean, you have no wiggle room
to
let me
ban
think,
semi-automatic weapons, which includes handguns now.
Now, he did say, he didn't actually say that, did he, in that clip? He wants to ban semi-automatic weapons. He said, we got to get these weapons of war off the street, which is an even dumber thing to say because everything is a weapon of war. I mean, go watch every time, watch the Arab Spring. They're freaking throwing rocks and glass bottles. Those are weapons of war. When you need a weapon in war, you use anything as a weapon of war. It's a meaningless description. People are like, oh, well, it means weapons that were designed for war. Every weapon can be used in war. A handgun.
That's the point.
Every single war that has ever been fought since the invention of a handgun has utilized handguns. Every single one of them. Of course they have. If you're just sitting there like, you know what? My big scary AR doesn't have any bullets left, but I'm not going to fire this because it's not technically a weapon of war. Like, that's not something that occurs with a soldier.
No, it is not.
Right? So it is a meaningless thing. I mean, semi-automatic weapons bans, again, that's basically every gun people use. Like, it sounds like a scary word to a lot of people. And I know in this audience, most people are going to be familiar with the difference between an automatic weapon and a semi-automatic weapon and, you know, a modern sporting rifle and all these things. I could say that growing up in Connecticut, largely, I don't think I would have, you know, if I wasn't in this business, I wouldn't have any interest or knowledge about what a semi-automatic weapon was. I would just think bad, scary. That's what people in Connecticut think, which is why they were able to pass, you know, a massive bill restricting gun rights in Connecticut. You know, I think there's it's certainly not everybody in Connecticut, of course, but I know, I mean, I didn't come from a gun household. My dad was in the military, but I didn't come from a household that knew anything. We didn't have guns in the house. It was not part of our culture at all. And so, you know, people just don't know what these terms mean. So you throw out banning semi-automatic weapons, people think, good, we're going to get rid of those school shooting guns.
Yeah.
Well, no, this is basically every gun operationally that people have for self-defense, right? I mean, you have shotguns, you know, which would fall out of that definition in most cases.
Revolvers?
Your revolver? Do people really use... I guess they do. I mean, some. But, I mean, most people are just going to have a semiotic weapon.
Yeah. I haven't seen a revolver other than in a gun store.
Right. People like using them at the range. They like using them to shoot. But they're not... Yeah. I mean, they're not the prototypical American self-defense firearm.
No.
That's going to be a semi-automatic handgun or, you know, maybe a shotgun. But still, it's like they're talking about banning. They're going way beyond anything Australia did or anything the British did. This is you know, it's gun control at a level we haven't seen in a long time.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
What if you could add up to $1,000 back to your monthly budget? I'm sure your first thought is, yeah, all right, sure, that would be great. But if you're a homeowner, it's not a fantasy. Think of it this way. If you're paying down a home loan and your rate is higher than today's rates, you're overpaying your mortgage. Take your money back with help from American Financing. Hi, it's Glenn Beck, and joining me is Gabby Maldonado. She's the co-founder of American Financing. And Gabby, what does it take for customers to get started?
It really is a simple process. We guide you through options, creating a unique solution for your needs. You can pre-qualify in 10 minutes and close in as fast as 10 days, but we move at your pace. There's never any pressure and we don't charge upfront fees, so there's no obligation. We're in it for you.
Take advantage of the free mortgage review today. Call 800-906-2440 or online at AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
The First Amendment guarantees your right to say stupid things.
But it doesn't guarantee we have to listen to them.
Share your intelligent thoughts with Glenn and Stu through social media, at Glenn Beck and at World of Stu.
Pat, Stu, and Jeffy for Glenn, who returns right after Labor Day. So next Tuesday morning, 888-727-BECK.
There are 24 candidates running for president of the United States. If you missed Bill de Blasio getting in late last week.
No, I didn't. That was a huge...
A big story for you
big,
guys?
Big story.
All over Bill de Blasio.
Really. We've been tingling.
I was in New York since. When this happened, when de Blasio announced.
Man, I bet you the excitement.
They hate him. And I'm not talking about just conservatives. I'm talking
good.
About liberals.
Really?
Can't stand the guy.
He's tearing that city into the ground.
It's funny. Like I was talking to one guy who is pretty left, and he was saying... It's, you know, he was basically admitting, like, look, de Blasio is basically a socialist, but the New Yorkers actually like the socialism. They just don't like him.
They don't like him.
They think he's doing a terrible job. He's, you know, and it's not because he's too many big government policies are being passed. They just think he sucks.
Yeah, they don't like him. He's never in office. They always run stories about him never showing up at the office. He's always taking naps. He's at the gym. They just hate him.
This is so consistent with who de Blasio is and who they see him as, which is a guy who cares more about, you know, now he wants to become a big, you know, national figure, and he doesn't care about running the city, which, you know, has major problems. You know, he can't seem to get anything done. And, like, he announces
his department hates him.
It's basically universal. The next day, I think it was the New York Post's headline was, "Everybody hates Bill." That was legitimately the headline of the local paper. So he's number 24 in this race. And
I think he'll remain there.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's probably true. So I want to give you, I would like to get your guesses on this, because this is it's an amazing race. And I could give you all 24 names, but it would take the rest of the show, basically. Mm-hmm. So let's do it this way. There's a new poll out that goes through the Democratic primary. It comes from Monmouth University, one of the most highly respected pollsters out there. And they asked people, who are you going for? And they gave them all 24 names. So they're all on the list. This is one of the rare, a lot of polls will just pull the top names. They gave them all 24. So how many would you say are at 0%?
Out of the 24,
how many candidates are at 0%?
I'm going to say 12.
Yeah, I was going to say 10.
12. You guys are right there. 11
really?
Candidates
11.
Are at 0%. Quickly, Eric Swalwell,
okay.
Seth Moulton, Wayne Messam.
Yeah, nobody
even knows who Wayne Messam
no
is.
One knows who
he's
these
the
are.
Mayor of Miramar, Florida. Thank
oh,
you
yeah,
very much.
That's right.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Mike Gravel, who, if you remember him, he ran in 2008, I think, and it was famous for a very awkward commercial where he stood in front of a pond and stared at the camera for like a minute and a half. Yeah, that was like really the only thing he was known for. He's back in the race. He's 87, I think.
Oh, wow.
87 years old. Wow. Bullock, Ryan.
Yeah, Steve Bullock, the governor of Montana.
Yep. Yep.
Awful.
Is he? Yeah. Awful. He's trying to run as a moderate. You don't think that's going to work?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No. Nor do I think he's moderate.
No. Tim Ryan, Jay Inslee, John Hickenlooper, Kirsten Gillibrand is the one that really stands out at 0%. I mean, that she was supposed to be, not a top tier candidate, a second tier candidate.
For sure, yeah.
And at 0%, if there's one person I would point to who this is, I mean, Beto, you can definitely make the point it's been a disaster, but at least he had a high point. Mm-hmm. Gillibrand has been basically 1% or 0% since she got in, and she's a senator from New York. Like, there's a case here, you'd think. She made big waves with her calling for what's-his-face, Al Franken, to resign, and that's wound up hurting her. Because, you know, Democrats don't want the Me Too rules applied to them.
they
want that applied to Republicans.
Sure.
It's very specific.
That's for sure.
So then you have John Delaney, who's been running since mid-2017.
Yeah. And who is he?
Now,
he's a congressman.
He was a congressman from Maryland. He's no longer.
He's not even that.
No, he's not even that. I think he the beginning of the year, like, he didn't run for re-election, I think. Okay. So as of 2019, he's no longer in the race. But he's been running since 2017.
That's because everybody was clamoring for him to run for president.
Yeah, yeah,
there was no sense of running for that office.
John, when are you going to run for president?
And then Michael Bennett, who is one of the most recent guys who got in, a senator from Colorado, also at 0%. So now you've got 11 Bennett. Of the 24 at 0%.
But you didn't mention Marianne Williamson. Does she have 1%?
You know what?
There's no way.
Well, let's go to the next group here.
And Tim Ryan?
Tim Ryan
no,
is
Ryan
at 0.
Was on the list. He mentioned Ryan.
Okay. So yeah. How many candidates, again, 11 are down at 0%. How many are at 1%?
Oh.
Jeez.
24 total candidates, 11 at 0%. How many are at 1%?
I'll say 5.
Yeah, well, I'll stick with 5. That sounds about right.
Very close. 6. Okay, 6 candidates at 1%. Are you ready for him?
Yes.
Andrew Yang.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Marianne Williamson.
No, he's got the Yang gang.
The Yang
That's
gang.
Only 1% of the population.
He's waiting to make his move.
And it is not 1% of the population. It's 1% of Democratic primary voters.
That's true.
So 1% for Andrew Yang. Yes, 1% for Marianne Williamson. If you don't know who she is,
there you go.
She's a new age guru that basically has a lot of associations with Oprah. She used to go on the Oprah show a lot.
Yeah.
She's the Kardashian family.
Oh.
She has a celebrity situation.
Okay. Uh-huh.
If she's going to win the election, right, the only path for her is Oprah and Kim Kardashian both endorsing her and campaigning for her.
That'd probably get her
right
up to 2%.
Yeah, maybe. Tulsi Gabbard is at 1%.
I've seen her doing quite a few interviews the last week or so. I feel like they're trying to really push her. Tulsi's trying to make a move. I don't know that it's working.
Yeah, she's a really weird candidate because, I mean, she's a very strange set of viewpoints.
Yes, she does.
She's very photogenic. She looks good on camera. When you see her in interviews, she sounds like the most boring think tank foreign policy wonk you've ever heard. She's very serious, monotone. Yeah. And she also has a very strange history for Democrats in that her dad was a big time anti-gay rights campaigner decades ago. And she was, appeared at events with him. And I don't know. She says she's changed those views.
She's a former military. I mean, she's got that going for her. She's really strong on that. So.
And she's there are a lot of fan clubs out there these days. You go on Facebook, you find the fan clubs. You can go and join the groups. There's not a lot of members of the Bashar al-Assad fan club. It's basically just Tulsi Gabbard, I think, and David Duke. And by the way, in the past, David Duke has actually endorsed Tulsi Gabbard. David Duke.
Oh, wow.
Now, she's, of course, rejecting that endorsement, as most do. But that is, she's a weird candidate. Bill de Blasio, also at 1%. Julian Castro at 1%.
Wow.
That's been a disaster, too. You want to talk about another guy who's made no impact?
Yeah, because he was supposed to be the next rising star in the Democrat Party. And
he was Buttigieg 5 years before Buttigieg, basically.
Okay, except he was mayor of a much larger city in San Antonio. Mm-hmm.
And wound up being
HUD
secretary.
Yeah, HUD secretary.
Cory Booker at 1%. That's a disaster.
Wow.
Good.
I mean, Cory Booker absolutely sucks.
Nobody deserves one, really, really minuscule support more than Cory Booker. Nobody deserves it
more. I mean, 1% is too much.
Yeah, it really is.
If you miss it, we did, we've been doing these candidate profiles, the Socialist Spotlight on the Glenn Beck TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and watch the Cory Booker one. I mean, some of the dealings with him in Newark are fascinating.
Really?
I mean, he started his own tech company while he was mayor.
He
got it funded by all these big, big names and multimillionaires.
It wasn't even a tech company, right? It was just like a tech company that we've already been doing that.
Oh, yeah.
And they gave him money.
It was I think he wanted to be a progressive search engine, I think.
Yeah.
It was some weird idea.
And Google still gave him money.
Oh, they gave him a fortune. Because, you know, and then, of course, lots of people who anyway. Benefited from his treatment in Newark also gave him money, shockingly, as these things turn out. It's worth going back and checking that one out. So that's the six. Booker, Castro, de Blasio, Gabbard, Williamson, and Yang at 1%. Okay, next one. Between 2% and 5%, how many candidates?
2 to 5.
Okay. So far, we have 17 candidates at 1% or less.
Beto's between 2 and 5.
Yeah.
Right?
Beto is between 2 and 5. He's at 4%.
Kamala Harris between 2 and 5.
No, Kamala Harris not between 2 and 5.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's two other candidates between 2 and 5. Can you name them?
Wow.
I don't know that I can.
Buttigieg, he's got to be a lot farther than that, right?
No, he's above
he's
that.
He's above that, right?
Oh, you know what? I was going to say 2 and... I should probably say 2 and 6. I actually wrote that down wrong. Sorry.
Oh, well,
sorry, 2 and 6.
You lying now you've bastard.
Screwed the whole thing up.
I did. It's my bad.
That changes everything.
It sure does. We have to
There's
go
three
back.
Candidates between 2 and 6. My bad. Sorry about that.
So, I can't come up with two more, I don't think, because...
Is Klobuchar in that group?
Klobuchar, yes. 3% for Klobuchar. So 3% Klobuchar, 4% O'Rourke. One candidate is at 6%.
She's just a bad person.
Can you guess who's at 6%?
Elizabeth Warren? Did we
guess, Jeffy?
Her?
No, it's not Elizabeth Warren.
It's not Elizabeth?
No.
And Kamala Harris has got to be higher than
right,
that.
And you say Kamala Harris. So I'll give it to you here. Pete Buttigieg.
6%. Oh, yeah, okay. There you go. Yeah,
Pete. I was giving Pete. More credit than that.
Yeah, I would have thought of him.
I said Pete before you changed the numbers. That's why I got it wrong. Okay.
I feel like the shine has come off a little bit on Mayor Pete at this point.
You might be
like
right,
him, though.
I don't know. I mean, I think he's actually a pretty good candidate. Again, I think so, too. I think he'd be a terrible president. All these disclaimers. Yes.
I disagree with virtually everything he says, but.
But he's pretty well spoken.
He says it well.
Yes,
he's
he
a smart guy. He's a Rhodes Scholar. He's got the military history.
He looked really good. On that town hall.
And he also has, I think, an elevated protected group status.
Yes,
like,
he does.
There's something, at this point, we've already had female presidents run. We've had female vice presidents run and almost win. The first gay president, I think, means more to the average Democrat sort of voter than, you know, Cory Booker, another black president, right? Like, I mm-hmm. think, like, again, yeah. this is how they make mm-hmm. decisions. This is not how I make decisions by any means, but this is how the left yeah. makes decisions. And I think being able to say we put the first gay president on the ticket is going to mean something mm-hmm. to a lot of voters. So I feel like he's a very big vice presidential candidate possibility.
Oh, yeah.
And he's also, I think, still has potentially another run in him here. Okay, so now we're up to, now I'm going to make sure before I tell you. Okay, there is one candidate... at 10%.
I'm going to say that's Kamala Harris.
Good guess.
Yeah, it's got to be Kamala Harris.
It is not. It's Elizabeth Warren in this particular situation.
What?
She's at 10%.
Okay. All right, then Kamala's more
next
than
up
that.
Is, wow. Next up is Kamala. She's at 11% in third place. And as you'd expect, Bernie Sanders at 15. And in first place, as he always is right now, Joe Biden, 33%.
It's not even close.
Not even close.
It really is a race of one. Will Joe Biden screw this up is really the question.
It's Joe... Who's white? Who's white and the and 23 male. Dwarves. Yeah. That's what it is.
It really is.
Joe White and the 23 dwarves.
Now, we've seen this. I like that. Joey Caucasian. We've seen this before, right? Howard Dean had a huge lead at this point in a campaign.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, actually, it wouldn't even be this point. It would be another.
So
I mean,
did Hillary,
Rudy
by the
Giuliani
way.
Giuliani led big.
Yes.
Hillary led big. It's easy to see Joe Biden losing this.
Sure is.
Although, if he runs a good campaign and doesn't, if he becomes gaffe-proof somehow, mm-hmm. and he runs a good campaign, he would be able to walk to victory. The question is, of course, will that happen? I think the answer to that is no. I mean, Joe Biden is going to have a bunch of bad moments in this campaign. He's incapable of...
Who do you think wins it, then? The nomination.
I mean, I still think Biden's the favorite by any means. I
For
think
sure.
The interesting question is to go into the rest of the field and say, who could you pull out of there that can make a serious
Gotta
run
be
at this
somebody
thing?
Else, right? Mm-hmm.
And Gotta so be... I would say, and I've been saying for a while, I think Kamala Harris might be that person. I think she's she gives the socialist side of the argument a much better face than a Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. I think she's dangerous. I think if you're going to go down, let's say Biden were to falter. Another one. I mean, I think Buttigieg would have some sort of run potentially. I think Klobuchar also would. She has a pretty decent case for a candidacy. I mean, she's won big in Minnesota, which is basically a purple state at this point and an important state. It's from the region where Donald Trump kind of stole their blue wall, as they look at it. And she can also give those moderate vibes. I mean, we had Mike Lee in here. and we asked him about every candidate that was in the Senate that he worked with, and we said, who's the closest to the Constitution, if you had to say one? And he, without hesitation, said Klobuchar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I mean, like, so, you know, it means something coming from Mike Lee.
Yeah, definitely.
So, if they, you know, if Biden were to fall away, like, a Biden-Klobuchar sort of ticket could be very likely, I think.
888-727-BECK.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I love getting mail from listeners who respond to our advertisements, and I've been telling you about Blinds.com for a long time, and I got this letter in from Tommy. He lives in Claremont, Florida, and he said, Glenn, our blinds were perfect. We saved a ton of money. I feel like they're higher quality than the box store product. Our windows look brand new with our Blinds.com order. I have several other window blinds that really need replacing, and I will definitely be using Blinds.com. Thank you so much for letting us know about this, and thank you, Blinds.com, for employing such great people who meet and exceed the customer's expectations. That says everything. Take advantage of Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Now you can enjoy their lowest prices of the year. You'll save up to 50% on everything. Plus, Beck listeners will save an extra $20 on top of that with promo code Beck. That's Blinds.com to save 50% site-wide. Plus, save an extra $20 with promo code Beck.
It's Pat, Stu, and Jeffy for Glenn. 888-727-BECK. So why is Joe Biden so far ahead in this race? Is it because he's more moderate than the others? Is it just because he was Obama's,
Joe Biden, right?
Obama's vice president? Because Biden has run several times, and he's never been this close to the nomination.
He's got to be because he's Joe Biden, right? He wanted to run on his own, which is why he made a point of asking Obama not to endorse him.
Yeah,
because you don't want
that was a great president. Moment when he was asked, hey, why isn't Barack Obama endorsing you? Well, I asked him not to, and really, so yeah, yeah, I just I wanted it to be fair to the other 23.
That's
candidates.
Dumb. You should try to win.
Yeah, it's such a lame. Yeah, I didn't want him to.
No,
and he didn't really want. And then he started saying he didn't want to endorse, and then he stopped himself.
Amazing, so bad.
I think, if you really think about this from the average person in America, they probably know who two of these candidates are, which are Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders.
Do you think
the average person who's knows who Kamala Harris is right now?
No.
I mean, probably not, right? As these debates start, they will start to know. And I think that will change. So I think it's largely that they know who he is. And I think it's largely name recognition. Though that will change once these debates start. We're only a few weeks away from them. I mean, the first debate is
exactly a month from now.
A month from now.
Wow.
And it's February 3rd is Iowa. So that is we're going to have, you know, all these months, the whole second half of this year is going to be filled with debates and all sorts of stuff, commercials and everything.
It's not even the election year.
No.
Think of that.
No.
You're already debating a year and a half out? Wow.
Yeah, really early. They did not seem to learn any of the lessons that I would have wanted Republicans to learn from last time, which is like, you don't need 647 debates.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need them every other day on every other network and ask all the same questions. They're going to go through all of this, and it's going to be a nonstop dish of candy for us because yes, there's going to be so much material.
You're listening to Glenn Beck. The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to it. It is Pat, Stu, Jeffy for Glenn. 888-727-BECK. If you'd like to get involved in the program, we'd love to hear from you. We got an amazing story about a university that's been kicked out of their sports conference.
It's amazing.
It sure is.
The reason, well, it might astound you. And then again, maybe not. As a matter of fact, we might as well just jump into it. The University of St. Thomas, they're a Division III school. They're being kicked out of the Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference because their teams are too dominant. We're sorry, you're too good
too
for
good.
Us. And we're sick of it, so we can't beat you. We want you out. They're like, well, wait, we'd like to stay in the conference. Nope. If you stay in the conference is going to dissolve. Wait,
wow.
What?
I mean, how dominant have they been? Do we know? Because I don't follow the Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference.
Really? I don't follow it as closely as I should.
Back in the day, I used to watch every game. But now it's more like no games.
Really?
Yeah, it's a slight change in approach.
Yeah, I'd say that's seems like a more than a slight change.
Really?
Yeah, it does. ESPN said St. Thomas has won 6 MIAC football titles since 2010. Okay, so it won 6 out of 8 or maybe even 9 now.
Right.
And they reached the title game in 2012 and 2015. But they also said the school's overall athletic program has been on a winning streak. St. Thomas finished 10th nationally in the Learfield Directors Cup. That's where they take all the sports and add up how you did in each sport, and then the school that did the best in all of those sports wins the most points.
You're acting as if we don't know what the Learfield Directors Cup is.
I didn't mean to insult your intelligence.
Oh, the audience. There's millions of people going, we know, Pat. We know what the Learfield Directors Cup is.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Why don't you explain the Heisman Trophy to us now? according to St. Thomas president Julie Sullivan, she said the league's decision is extremely disappointing, but added the school is committed to finding a new athletic conference. Although our athletic conference will change, one thing will not, our commitment to continued academic and athletic excellence.
I mean, according to this, they were one of the founding members of this conference.
That's crazy.
A founding member. Since 1920, and we're going to kick them out.
1920? They've been in this conference for that long, and they're kicking them out because they're too good?
They won 47% of all the MIAC championships, both team and individual sports.
Not even half?
From 2003 to 2018, so not
still,
even half.
That's still a successful lot, program.
It's a successful program, but it's not.
It'd be like the Big Ten kicking Ohio State out of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We can't compete with you. We
SEC
don't want you here
kicking
anymore.
Out Alabama. I'm okay
right.
with that. You know what?
You're okay with that?
Yeah, let's
of course. I would support Alabama getting kicked out of really all...
out of college football. So maybe we should reevaluate our stand
yeah.
here.
Because it is annoying when that team constantly
every right to
wins.
Get rid of this school. Every right.
Thank you.
I mean, it is annoying when a team constantly wins, right? I mean, the Golden State is again in the finals this year, and people are, you know...
Tired of it.
Are tired yeah. of it. They don't want to say...
New England Patriots.
Yes.
Tired of it.
I couldn't be more sick of the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Thankfully, the Philadelphia Eagles were there to make sure they didn't win multiple Super Bowls in a row. As we all know, everyone thanks God for the Eagles, but...
do they?
They do.
Do they?
But it is one of those things. It is annoying, and I'm sure as a college where you're losing all the time to the same colleges, I could see it being irritating, but that really should just motivate you to be a better program.
Thank you. Yes.
Or you drop out, right? Like, if you're really that frustrated with it, you drop out and join a crappier conference.
Go to a weaker
conference. It goes back. Now, according to the story, it goes back to one particular game. Now, we talk all the time about teams shouldn't hold back. You know, how angry they are with coaches who reach 50 points and they're winning 50-0 and then pull back.
Oh, yeah, I'm all for running up the score.
In 2017, St. Thomas played St. Olaf College. And when you bring those two teams together,
you can throw the record books right out the window.
And you have to, because St. Thomas beat them 97-0.
And this is football?
Yes.
I mean, that's a defeat.
Yeah.
You know, you would say we need to go back to the drawing board.
And that apparently
after that
was
one.
The catalyst.
Well, that should have been the catalyst for St. Olaf to maybe
leave
or get their football team to be a little bit better. Maybe you recruit better. Maybe you work them harder. Maybe, you know, you try harder then, right?
We'd like to try harder only with St. Thomas out.
Because really the whole point of sports, it's, you know, it's supposed to be something where it's pure competition, pure merit, right? Now, of course, we all know that that's not always the case anymore. But I mean, that is the idea of it. It's one of the, it's the last bastion of any merit-based activity in the world.
Right. And we're even losing this.
And yeah, we're losing that. That's why I think, you know, a lot of times conservatives complain about the same sort of thing, like the trophy, the free trophy culture, and everybody gets an award and all of that. And it's not because we care all that much about, you know, who gets trophies. It's a, it's about caring about the authenticity of competition. You have to have competition that's merit-based and pure, or there's no reason to do it. And you know, a lot of these sports leagues, when it comes down to the way the salary cap operates and people switching teams to go play with their friends and all of this craziness that goes on in these leagues these days, it winds up, you know, it's putting like a little bit of pollution into that world, and you don't want it there.
Yeah. We're enabling whiners.
Yeah.
And losers, really, because if you keep losing in this conference to this school, as you said, that should be motivation for you to work all that much harder in order to get better so that you can come back and beat these guys the next year.
Or close the doors of your program. If you're going to lose 97-0 to everybody in your conference, maybe it's time to just close the doors and not do anything anymore.
It's like back in 19, I think it was 1920 or 22, somewhere in there, when Georgia Tech beat Cumberland College 222-0.
Yeah.
And Cumberland College decided, okay, you know what? We're not going to play football anymore.
Yeah, and
I mean, that was good probably decision. A good decision on their part.
It was a great decision.
Yeah, if you don't want to be humiliated, you either strive to do better or you quit. And they
good old fashioned quit. Road. Yeah, you know what? At 222-0, it's hard to blame them on that one.
Yeah.
You know, if you lose 17-7, you should probably try harder. You lose 222-0,
you're probably not a very good program.
And I will say, Pat, I'm a little disappointed that you didn't remember it was 1916.
It was 16? Okay. All right.
Was it 222-0 exactly?
Yes.
And that was, I think this was a game where, I think it was this game where the team on offense, one of the reasons why the score was so high, the team that was losing was angry about it, so they were just not trying. They stopped trying at one point. I think it's this game. It could be, it could be, there's another game that was the same, similar type of blowout, and they just stopped trying. Because they were just like trying to prove a point, like, go ahead, score another freaking touchdown. And then they would just take the ball and not even try.
See, that might be the wrong attitude as well.
That might
be,
too.
Yeah, that might be. They should just get out of the league at that point.
Well, this attitude has become so prevalent that it's even entered the NFL, where you got people making $5, $10, $15 million a year on defense to stop an offense, and then they still expect the offense not to try hard. Why didn't you take a knee when it was 27-0?
Yeah.
Hey, that wasn't nice that you threw a pass. They kicked a field goal with a minute left in a 24-10 game. Come on.
You're like, wait a minute. That's like, they should be doing that.
I'm sorry. Isn't your team payroll like $400 million? Stop them.
Yeah.
Stop them. It's crazy.
I hate it.
It's crazy.
It's such a weird, I mean, and it gets folded into sportsmanship. And I think it's the exact opposite of sportsmanship. If you are taking, and I understand this when it comes to you know, young kids, a lot of times this is where this stuff begins, but it's like, what is more insulting to a professional athlete? Either kicking an extra field goal or literally giving up and saying, I'm so much better than you. If I try, it will be embarrassing for you.
That seems to be worse.
Much worse.
Yes. Yes.
888-727-BECK. More in 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Guys, you know that new Untuck It shirt you've been eyeing? Well, you can save 25% on everything in stores and online with Untuck It's annual Memorial Day sale going on now. Every Untuck It shirt has that just right length and comes in tons of fit combinations, so tall, short, slim, and bigger guys of all ages can look great. Just visit untuckit.com or any of Untuck It's 60-plus stores this weekend to save 25%. Untuck It. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
Have you heard about Newsmax TV? It's America's fastest-growing cable news channel in 70 million homes. Every minute, every day. Watch Newsmax for breaking news on President Trump. Plus, get insights from Bill O'Reilly, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, Mike Reagan, and more. You can find Newsmax TV on DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Optimum, Spectrum, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, WOW, and dozens of cable systems. So check your guide now and watch Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
Pat, Stu, and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK. Harvey Weinstein has apparently reached a settlement with some of the women he apparently abused. Right? Is that
allegedly
in lieu of trial?
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Apparently.
I'm sorry. Allegedly.
Allegedly abused these 80 women.
It is a fact, though, that nothing's been proven against him.
It's true.
So far as I know.
And he denies, so, he denies and it
he,
all.
He denies any wrongdoing.
Of the cases, those cases will still go to trial.
Two criminal cases.
The criminal cases are still going. Yeah.
One of them was a rape, alleged rape. Yes. That one is problematic for him because there is audio of him kind of saying he did it. So that's a bit of a problem.
Oh, wow.
Now, of course, he'll say, well, what I meant was, and come up with some other excuse or explanation. It did pretty much seem like he was going along with the fact that he did grab her several times at the very least. So the Weinstein thing is, this is really the company, right? The company is settling with these women.
Yes.
There's 80 people who had alleged that he had done things to them. And this basically becomes a pool of money that they can get claims from. Mm-hmm. And it was paid from corporate insurance. So none of this money comes from Harvey Weinstein. And of course he's obviously paid already with the entire company. I mean, you know, what was it? 4 days after all this happened, he got fired, and within a couple of months, the company was dissolved.
It's gone. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So this is just kind of a fallout from that, which is a pretty big deal. I mean, it's weird because people look at this and they say, well, he's not getting the punishment he should get for these things. And I can understand that, though it's not really your choice. It's the woman's choice, right? Like, we like to take the woman's, we say, like, this is all about Me Too and empowering women, but don't let them choose to take a bunch of money. Don't let them choose what they want to do.
Right.
If they want to take a bunch of money, they should be able to take a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I mean, you know, a crime is a crime, and there's a criminal process for that. But this is not that situation.
No, it isn't. But we've also seen in this Me Too movement that they want the bunch of money, and then
they will still be able to tell on them later. And that is one thing that has not been discussed as much when it comes to the whole Me Too movement, which is, look, humans are awful, okay? They're really awful creatures.
You don't have to look at me when you say that.
I did look at you, didn't I? That was almost instinctive. They're really awful people, and they do awful things to each other. And this goes both ways. I mean, you know, we were just talking about football. Tyreek Hill, who's the star wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs, sort of. At this moment, he still is. He's been indefinitely suspended from the team because of these clips of audio where he seems to be being abusive to his wife and talking about potentially being abusive to their child. And, you know, it looks really bad. And then they release a competing tape where she's basically admitting he did nothing wrong. So, right. I mean,
yeah,
but like, we don't know where this one turns out. I don't know the ins and outs of it well enough, but the bottom line is women are also humans and women are also awful at times. And so are guys. Like, everybody does, you know, terrible things. There's examples of it all over the place. And at times, the legal system of the United States and even the victims benefit from a system that they can go and say, look, I don't want to go through the court system. I don't want to be dredged through the mud. I don't want to go in front of everybody and tell everyone my deepest, darkest, the worst moment of my life. I don't want to explain it. And they have these settlements for those reasons. And now we're like, well, they shouldn't be able to have those settlements.
Right.
They shouldn't be able to choose that direction. Well, they should be able to choose it, you know? And I think that part of it, if that goes away, you're going to wind up having every woman who has a legitimate claim be dragged through the courts by really wealthy people, and it's going to be a terrible outcome at the end. So, I mean, that's a whole other part of this, but I think the Weinstein situation is going to play out in ugly fashion over the next year.
This settlement, I mean, this is like they're reporting $44 million is the pile. Mm-hmm. That's what it's being reported. Yep. You know, that's pretty good.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money, but it's still only part of what's going to happen to Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, yeah.
888-727-BECK. Back in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
According to the FBI, the average loss in a burglary is about $2,000. That's pretty hard to recover from.
Even so, only 1 in 5 homes have home security. With SimpliSafe, there's no contracts, no hidden fees, no fine print, no wires. It's designed to blend right into your home. No drilling, nothing, no strings, no wires. It's easy to order and set up, and you can usually do it in less than an hour. SimpliSafe system has won a ton of awards, from CNET to the New York Times Wire Cutter. Around-the-clock monitoring is $15 a month. SimpliSafe, doing home security the right way. And SimpliSafe has a huge deal going on right now. Go to SimpliSafeBeck.com, get a free HD security camera when you order. That's $100 value. Get your free HD security camera now by going to SimpliSafeBeck.com and ordering today. That's SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Speaking of Harvey Weinstein, some new movies are released this weekend, including Aladdin. Any interest in Aladdin?
Oh, is it the Will Smith thing?
Yeah.
Oh, good God. That
looks
terrible.
The genie, right?
Yeah, he's the genie.
I don't think I've even seen a trailer.
Oh, I have.
Oh, my goodness.
It looks bad.
This is one. I feel like
really?
It's...
Really? Like a disaster?
It looks to me... It's just like the end of the Will Smith career.
Like, wow,
I'm sure that's
bad?
Not true. I mean, like, I don't. Wow. It's designed for children, but it's like him as a goofy blue genie.
Well,
I mean,
he's trying to be Robin Williams, right? I mean,
that's
the Robin Williams character.
That's a tough order when you're not Robin Williams and you're not a comedian.
Will Smith could probably pull it. I mean, like, he'll probably do fine. He'll probably make a lot of money and he'll be fine. But, like, it's going to be hard to take him seriously in the next role. Like, I don't know.
It got 60% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think that's the critics. And then, according to Google users, 92% liked it. That's pretty high.
Yeah. It just looks to me to be horrible, but I have no interest in this this genre.
Yeah, that's not a Stew type of movie.
I mean, it's not an adult type of movie, right? It's a movie for kids.
No,
live action.
Yeah,
for me, you know.
No, I have
it's
kids.
Pokemon Detective Pikachu. That's what I'm looking for.
Me too.
Well,
now my son is very
deal
into
of anticipation. Is he
now? He's
into
seven.
The Pikachu thing.
Yes, very. Yeah. He went through a big Pokemon phase, and it saw the preview of this movie at another movie we were at, and is very excited to see it. I am not as high on it.
I'm so glad I don't have small children to have to take to this. I am so glad. Then there's something called...
This is, Pat, though, where the dine-in theater becomes a big thing. Because I can go to any movie and that's at a dine-in theater.
As long
theater,
as there's food.
Just shovel food down my mouth
the entire
time. You can
pacify me. Yeah.
Yes. You know, and not to mention, I mean, this is not going to be necessarily your forte here, Pat. But, of course, the full bar of being available makes Aladdin pretty good. I got to believe there's a certain amount of drinks in which Will Smith's performance is excellent.
Uh-huh.
And I got to tell you, a couple of those movies, you put your feet up in those movies, you're...
I've fallen asleep before, especially at a movie with the kids. Like, because if you're not, you know, some of them
are
good.
Watch, I am.
Yeah. My kids like wandered off into Hostel Part 2. He's in another part of the theater. I'm like sound asleep on a chair. It happens.
Did you see the new theater they're opening up in? I think it was Switzerland, and it's basically a bedroom. You lay on a bed. It looks like a bed anyway, and they come in and they change it every single showing apparently. And it literally reclines into a bed
with like a
bedstand. I don't know how you stay awake with that.
No, you just fall asleep.
That kind of comfort is just, it gets too comfortable at some point.
They're doing all sorts of these weird things. Have you heard the new, this is off topic, but I've been seeing commercials for this lately, and I think it's actually a thing, which is the Capital One Cafe.
Yes. Why would you want a bank that's a cafe?
Right.
Yeah, I don't understand
it. You don't want to just go into a bank and bank.
Right, because they're like, we're reinventing banking.
Right.
And what it means is, I guess you go and you get a coffee while you're opening an account. Like, it seems to be the
so
legitimate
weird.
Pitch. I will say I'm intrigued enough to walk into one of them if I could find one. Because I want to know what they're trying to do.
I think every single time. I think, I want that in my bank?
Right.
I don't know that
and they
I'm
don't
looking
seem,
for that.
They don't seem to ever say they're serving anything. It looks like a cafe, and they say the word cafe. But then they just talk about signing up online banking, for bank accounts. And I'm like, well, I can do that.
We've reimagined a bank into a coffee shop. Oh, well, why don't I just go to a coffee shop?
Because you're not going to be able to bank there.
I don't know if you can bank at the bank.
Like, this is like.
Because it's now a coffee shop.
And if you're going to combine two things, I don't think bank and cafe are the way I would go. Like, there's a place near where I live. and it's like a, one of these like strip malls. And I don't know if it's a Robert Kraft establishment, but there's a massage place in the strip mall, and next to it is a donut shop. But on the sign for the complex, it just says massage donuts. And I'm like, donuts and massage is a solid combo.
That's a great combo.
Is. Like, I just want to be, you're getting a massage and people are just feeding you donuts combo. At the same time. That's the sort of combination you want. Yes. KFC, Taco Bell, right? Like, they're in the same thing. You go in there, you can order whatever fried chicken thing you want, and you get a bunch of tacos.
Yes.
Like, that's a solid combination.
Yes, it is.
Yes. I feel like bank and cafe is not the direction we need to be going.
What if you could go the other way on the bank cafe, where it starts as a cafe, but we also do banking now?
Yeah, like Starbucks. Just bank. Open up a bank.
We're reimagining a coffee shop, and we're going to give you banking a banking experience here as well.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see if that worked out.
I guess it's not a movie, but have you started watching Chernobyl yet?
No, I have not.
So good. The first episode is really good.
I know there's three episodes released on HBO now. I think I'm two in, and they both are really good. I really enjoyed it. But I see where IMDb ranked it as its top-rated show now.
Oh, wow.
9.5.
Nice.
And it also had, it's like the topest launch on Sky Atlantic now of like 1.7 million viewers.
Wow. Mm.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
All the things I think about every day, stroke wasn't one of them. Then my brother had one. My doctor said 4 out of 5 people who have a stroke never show symptoms, but 80% of strokes can be prevented when the risk is identified early. So I decided to get screened by Lifeline Screening. In about an hour, Lifeline Screening did a series of painless ultrasound screenings to look inside my arteries and determine my risk for stroke and cardiovascular disease.
If you're over 40, call Lifeline Screening now. For just $149, a savings of over 50%, you'll get a 5 screening package that can help detect the warning signs so you can help prevent a stroke or heart attack from happening to you.
When I got the results, I went to my doctor, who developed a treatment plan.
Lifeline Screening's community health screenings are coming to your neighborhood. Appointments are limited. Make yours now. Call 1-888-670-TEST. That's 1-888-670-TEST. 1-888-670-TEST.
Sign up at blazetv.com using promo code BECK to enjoy free speech while it lasts. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Triple 8-727-BECK. It's Pat Stu and Jeffy for Glenn. 888-727-BECK. And we've been talking about this. You guys mentioned the Chernobyl movie. Is it a documentary?
It is a It is a live action. It's like a series. So it's
a
like
mini series on HBO.
Okay.
A limited series.
Yeah, that's I think it's the one.
So it's like maybe I think it's 6 or 7 episodes total. I think only 3 of them are out so far.
Yes.
And it just goes through the entire Chernobyl thing from like it starts the day the meltdown happens. And this is an event I'm absolutely fascinated with. I mean, it is legitimately, it's legitimately on my bucket list of I need to get there. Now, the problem with Chernobyl is it might be the last thing on your bucket list because you go there and then you don't come back. No, it's actually completely safe to humans.
Yeah.
And like they're not moving people back into the area for multiple reasons.
No, but animals have moved back. I just saw that on one of my nature shows.
Yes.
That I've been watching lately. And they said it is fascinating. Unbelievable how the animal kingdom has just moved right back in, and there's abundant life there now.
Yeah, and it's
there's plenty to eat. The greenery has grown again,
and it's not like The Simpsons with Mr. Burns, where every fish has 3 eyes.
No,
like, no, they're just fine.
It's fine.
Later on, physicists have said that the bottom line is they actually probably should not have issued a mandatory evacuation of the area, even when it happened. And the thought was at the time,
I don't think we understood it.
Yeah, we didn't.
No,
we didn't. We thought it was going to kill a lot
Everything.
More people. And one of the things that Chernobyl, the series, does really well is highlight the real heroic activities of the people who were there working at the plant and in the surrounding areas.
Yes.
I mean, they basically rushed into a burning building like you'd never seen before. And just to protect the people around them. It was the government that was the complete disaster, as you'd expect.
No kidding.
People tried to make this into, see, this is what can happen with nuclear power. No. See, this is what can happen with awful government. This is what can happen with communism.
Yes.
I mean, they basically were running a giant reactor without a containment facility. Now, that would never happen today, even in places like Russia. I mean, no one would operate a nuclear power plant anything like Chernobyl. And the other times that we've had issues with and scares with nuclear energy, they have been nothing but a giant testament to the success of the way they've protected people. In Three Mile Island, the worst exposure to radiation at Three Mile Island was a full chest of X-rays. A full set of chest X-rays.
And that's why thousands of people died?
No, no one died. Zero people died. Three Mile Island. Yeah. Zero people died.
Biggest nuclear disaster in the history of this nation.
That's you. Actually true, but right. also zero people died. and, you know, Jeffy and I have joked about this. We used to do this on Patents 2 all the time with Fukushima. But again, zero
update
people.
On Fukushima.
Zero people died.
Did you carry the one? Yes. Yes, we did.
Yeah. So
I think we're starting to see some Fukushima animals in the ocean as we speak, my
friends. Not even a thing. What is a Fukushima animal? I mean,
people get confused between the actual nuclear meltdown and the tidal wave.
Right, the tidal wave killed lots of people.
Killed lots of people. The tsunami killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
10,000 or more.
Yeah.
It was a terrible, terrible incident. Yeah. And yet they try to vilify nuclear power. At the same time, they warn us about climate change, where nuclear power would be like the easiest solution to climate change known to man. It's an unlimited amount of emission-free electricity. And they're like, no, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest way to spot an actual environmentalist and a person who's was using it for political gain. If they will tell you, you know what? Yes, nuclear power, please bring it on. They are a real environmentalist. Like, they actually care about global warming. There's a whole group of people who are on the far left who really care about global warming but are advocating for nuclear power. And at least you could take them seriously. Like, here is, okay, we have this amazing technology that has killed, in its entire existence, 59 people, all of them at Chernobyl, basically. I mean, people have fallen at plants and stuff, but I'm talking about actual meltdowns. And we have
What about the China syndrome when that happened?
That was a movie. Yeah, that was a movie.
No, I specifically saw that documentary.
Yeah, you saw it in the hallway here. Right. Isn't that the one that... No, that was the... What was the one that was filmed here? There's another nuclear disaster movie that was filmed here in the studios. We're in Dallas.
Silkwood.
With Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep.
Who you love.
Oh, I hate getting...
She was great in that movie, though.
She is terrible in all movies. but the Chernobyl thing is excellent. If you think Chernobyl is interesting, it's worth watching. If you just like good television, it's worth watching. But let me give you a third reason. If you happen to be considering voting for, let's say, a Bernie Sanders, if you know someone who happens to be the type of person who might pull a lever for Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren or anyone else who thinks, you know, AOC, democratic socialism is the way to go, it's a must watch for them because you see exactly the way these governments operate.
You sure do. It's amazing how much you see. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, because again, when you prioritize the collective over individuals, you get this mindset. And let me give you a great example of it. This is from episode one of Chernobyl. And it is... to set the scene here, the meltdown has happened. They realize something serious is going on. But there's a disagreement as to what they should do about
it. And how bad it is.
Like, a lot of the people there are like, look, it's nothing serious. We've already contained it. Everything's going to be fine. And then there's just the inkling of other people who are like, hey, like, it seems to be a lot worse than you're saying. Yes. I think we should evacuate our families. We should get people out of here. And they're like, no, that's going to cause a panic. And they're in the middle of this back and forth. Who's going to win? The people saying it's not a big deal or the people who are worried about their families? And so as this is all happening, there's an old-time socialist. A guy who's been around a while. You know, he's kind of sitting in the back room. And he's just watching all this happen. And as the arguing sort of builds up, he taps his cane on the floor and everyone just drops silent to listen to what this old school guy is about to say. And listen to this speech and play it to anyone who wants to vote for Bernie Sanders, because this is how it always ends up. Listen.
Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we fall prey to fear that our faith in Soviet socialism will always be rewarded. Now, the state tells us the situation here is not dangerous. Have faith, comrades. The state tells us it wants to prevent a panic. Listen well. It's true. When the people see the police, they will be afraid. But it is my experience that when the people ask questions that are not in their own best interest, they should simply be told to keep their minds on their labor and leave matters of the state to the state. We seal off the city. No one leaves. And cut the phone lines. Contain the spread of misinformation. That is how we keep the people from undermining the fruits of their own labor. Yes, comrades. We will all be rewarded for what we do here tonight. This is our moment to shine.
And if you think about it, chilling.
It is chilling.
I didn't realize somebody from Great Britain was in charge of the Soviet Union.
Yes. There's a number of them. They infiltrated. Yeah.
Pretty British.
Yeah.
But it's really well done.
That they were the head of the Communist Party. Yeah. A bunch of people from England. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's amazing, though. The two parts of that where...
Hello, comrades. Blimey, it's a beautiful day.
When he says, when people ask questions that are not in their best interest.
Yeah.
Like that is the way socialist governments
keep your mind on your labor.
Yeah. And they say, you know, when they want to do things that will undermine their own labor, that is how communists and socialists think about these things. Because once you commit to this, once you commit to, we are the experts, we will run things, we will tell you how it is best to live, what you need to do, how you can control the economy. Once you get there and it starts failing, all you can do is double down and control. So when the state wants something done and people are panicking, seal off the city. Don't cut all the phone lines. Don't let anyone know. Don't let these people undermine their labor.
Yeah, but I let anyone know, Stu. That's so harsh. We just wanted to curb misinformation.
Curb misinformation. That's the way. There's always a justification. And when you get to this point, when you are dedicated to socialism, like, I mean, how many of the 24 candidates are? I mean, certainly none of them talk that deeply in an overt fashion. But I mean, when you're an ideologue like Bernie Sanders, when you went to the Soviet Union on your honeymoon, you are so dedicated to this.
Yes, you are.
That protecting socialism from people perceiving it to fail. If he was able to implement this, which if he gets to be president, he will do a lot of it. And he will over. I think he'll get rid of the filibuster. I think he'll do whatever he has to do to get these policies in. And if he does, he will do anything to protect it. Anything, because it's all about the collective good. We must protect socialism, because if this fails, they'll go back to that individualism stuff. They'll go back to the old American system. We can't let that happen. And that's what the Soviet Union was doing there. It was, yes, it was about a disregard for human life, which is the way people normally talk about it. But in reality, more than that, it was an unending dedication to that idea of socialism. It doesn't matter if a few people die here. Who cares? The bottom line is we will be rewarded for our eternal dedication to Soviet socialism.
And the scary thing is, what contributed to that? A disregard for human life.
Yeah.
They didn't care. It meant nothing to them.
They worked together.
And is that not pervasive in the Democrat Party? They're essentially a death cult now. They don't seem to care about human life either. They completely disregard it. That's why it's not a big deal that they can do an abortion in, you know, right up to and including 40 weeks or after 40 weeks. It doesn't matter to them. Don't even call it a heartbeat. It's a some sort of pulse. Yeah. Just a fetal
flickering pulse.
Flickering pulse.
That was the tech. Yeah. That's the one they're using now. Flickering pulse on an ultrasound. I saw someone post something that was like, it said like, pregnancy does not make my body public property. It's like, what kind of weird way is this to look at the world? Like, what we're saying is the other person is not your property. Just like my son right now, I can't just go kill because he's not my property. He's an individual. He has his own set of rights. And I love this idea that, like, the left somehow tries to make the argument that what they really want here is the government not to be involved in things. God. Who the hell are you people?
I know.
We were all there for Obamacare. Mm-hmm. You're saying healthcare has nothing to do with the public sector, but you know, it's not public
property.
Well,
that's a right.
Why is every one of my decisions when it comes to healthcare regulated by thousands of things that I can and cannot do? Why am I paying for everyone else's healthcare if it's not their property, if their health is not my property? Because it certainly seems like you are willing to bring the government into every other healthcare interaction except the one that you falsely call healthcare, abortion. It's the one they keep calling healthcare when it's not, and yet they want us involved. The only thing they want the libertarian principle carried out in is abortion. It's amazing.
So you're saying that's a good thing?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I thought so. I was getting that. Mm-hmm.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I love getting mail from listeners who respond to our advertisements, and I've been telling you about Blinds.com for a long time, and I got this letter in from Tommy. He lives in Claremont, Florida, and he said, "Glenn, our blinds were perfect. We saved a ton of money. I feel like they're higher quality than the box store product. Our windows look brand new with our Blinds.com order. I have several other window blinds that really need replacing, and I will definitely be using Blinds.com. Thank you so much for letting us know about this, and thank you, Blinds.com, for employing such great people who meet and exceed the customer's expectations." That says everything. Take advantage of Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Now you can enjoy their lowest prices of the year. You'll save up to 50% on everything. Plus, Beck listeners will save an extra $20 on top of that with promo code Beck. That's Blinds.com to save 50% site-wide. Plus, save an extra $20 with promo code Beck.
It's Pat and Stu and Jeffy for Glenn, 888-727-BECK. This is kind of interesting, although unfortunate, as far as I'm concerned. CBS won the late night, late show war for the first, the whole season.
Really?
For the first time since 1994-95 with, Stephen Colbert.
I can't believe he was in first place.
I can't either, because I can't. Yeah. I don't like him.
He's not that funny.
I don't like him.
No, and it's a one-trick pony. He just tries to make Trump jokes all day. You know, it's interesting. There's kind of competing evidence going on with that, because you know when he first started Colbert, he was getting destroyed by Fallon, and he was not doing lots of political stuff. And then the Trump thing happened. He started doing the political stuff, and that has been his rise.
Yeah. Seems
so
to
for
have
late
worked,
night,
yeah.
it seems to have worked. For MSNBC, sort of works. CNN. Totally not, right?
Like,
yeah,
you know, and I think you mentioned ESPN as well.
Yeah, ESPN. We talked about this the other day. The president at ESPN put a stop to the political talk on ESPN.
And good.
Thank you. Mm. It's what we've been saying. When you turn to ESPN, you don't want to hear a bunch of left-wing politics. Who wants that? No one. And so he put his foot down and clamped down on it and said, no more. No more.
What was the, remember the two people who were doing the Sports Center thing? The woman who was just basically calling Trump
Jemele
a racist, Jemele Hill, right? Yeah. And she went to, I think she's at the Atlantic now. Which that you can't
good place for her.
You can't have Kevin Williamson working there. God forbid, you know,
right.
a well-known like great writer that's conservative. You can't have him there. But Jemele Hill completely fine,
right?
Which again, you know, you should be able to have. I mean, Jemele Hill can have a job expressing her opinion, but SportsCenter is a terrible place for it.
Terrible.
I mean, it was just agonizing. It was just a nonstop social justice parade. It's like, right. I get that's part of the conversation in everything in life, right? Like, God forbid you have a conversation that doesn't involve race.
I know.
It's the same thing we were talking about earlier. It is an excuse for everything.
And then what I love is, we need to have a conversation about race.
A conversation.
That's all we've been doing for the last 30 years.
Look, what's the difference between Brooks Koepka, the golfer, and Tiger Woods, the golfer, at the same point of their public prominence? I mean, Brooks Koepka has won 4 of the last 8 majors. Nobody knows what his name is.
Right.
Right? 4 of the last 8 majors. Tiger Woods was an absolute phenomenon. They're both dull as a board when it comes to an interview.
Uh-huh.
You know? But Tiger Woods had that extra thing that people liked. Does that mean? I mean, you can put race into every single one of these issues if you want to. It's silliness. Mm-hmm. Just look at just judge people by the content of their freaking character. It's a bizarre request, I know.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.